Okay, hi everybody again, and I'm going on from that last program of 1 hour into program number six for the externalization of the hierarchy, and we've been talking about five types of force. We're arranging them usually in different order. The force of Shambhala, or force energy, energy force. Energy force of hierarchy, energy force of humanity, energy force of the Jewish group, energy force of the Black Lodge. And ray one for Shambhala, ray two for the hierarchy, ray three for humanity, ray 1-5 for the Black Lodge, ray 3-7 for the Jewish group. And he takes this up in different ways. We've been talking about the separativeness of the Jewish group and how they arrived on our planet before even there were any human beings on it, before individualization occurred, because they had individualized on the within the previous solar system, and some of them, I suppose, went to the moon chain, but maybe not so many. We're also talking about the term Jew as a modern term. During the Atlantean and Lemurian races, they were not called that. They were the nomads, highly developed from the previous solar system, and they wandered to the present solar system. And their task was to work on the energy of love instead of the natural separativeness of the third ray. I mentioned three kinds of beings, particularly of the normal beings. The Jew was the most advanced, what we call the Jew now, but there were still more advanced beings who went on to become solar angels, who are now ministering to us as human beings. And there were certain initiates, much addicted to the love of matter, who now manifest as the Black Lodge or the Lords of Form, those who are particularly interested in the matter aspect and want to retard entry into the higher aspects of divinity. Okay. Now we're working on the idea of the way the separativeness or the idea of the chosen people has worked against the Jewish group over the years, and the Black Lodge has been able to use them to stir up world difficulty, because they have a natural tendency, according to the ray, to see things in separative terms. And in Lemurian times, when there was much that was corrupt and lawless, the breaking of the laws that the solar angels tried to give to humanity, they had to keep themselves pure. And those prescriptions for purity should long ago have been discarded. They were effective or not, and but they were carried on into the present age, where they become obstructive. And under Virgo, they have created a situation where such tiny multiple observances give us, for these people, an obstructive psychology, and one that basically, at this point, resists the Christ aspect. But of course, since Master Jesus, he tells us, DK tells us, will be basically the Messiah for the Jews, not the Christ so much, but the Master Jesus. And since the Master Jesus is so totally dedicated to carry out the will of the Christ, that energy will come to the Jewish group. Remember that Virgo at this time is the energy through which the major expression of the second ray reaches humanity, along with Gemini and Pisces, of course. But through Virgo, which is the, in a way, the soul sign, rising sign of the Jews, there will come much of the second ray which is needed, and this will bring about the assimilation, the blending of their qualities with the qualities of humanity, maybe Earth humanity or Moonshade humanity. Anyway, there are groups that need what the Jews have, and the Jews need what they have, and that assimilation, I think, will come under the second ray. It seems to be a natural tendency of progressive people, and so many just don't realize the ancient nature of their religion, so ancient that it has to do with the previous major solar system and the New Testament being, the Old Testament being, rather, the summation of the wisdom of the previous major solar system. So there's a lot of work to be done, and I closed also by mentioning that there are a number of the masters, Master M, Moses, you know, Master Jesus, so prominent as Joshua and Jeshua and the High Priest Joshua, and probably Master R, you know, he was the so-called architect of King Solomon's Temple, and Master Hilarion, who was Paul the fanatical warrior Jew, you know. These masters have a lot to do with the present karmic situation, which is basically a working out of karma of the previous solar system in our present solar system. That's what makes it such a dire experience and involves the Black Lodge, which has come from the previous solar system. It involves a great battle between the intelligence and the love aspect and the need to bring them together under Venus, I would say. Venus holds the solution to so much that is unresolved at the present time between these two systems. And the Earth seems to be the place where this is being worked out. Earth is both it's a hospital, it's a sanatorium, it's a place where those with critical conditions come for rectification. When humanity has solved, well, we know even today, a Jew hatred is rising again, and I think those who were the Nazis and the fascists and all that, they're back, they did not succeed in emphasizing blood and soil. Again, you know, the decaying remnants of the vehicles of those who die, soil. They did not succeed in raising blood and soil above the possibility of consciousness expansion. And we will see again, I think, an attempt to fulfill fascist and Nazi goals. It may seem far-fetched, but even in the United States, with its what DK calls, I think, a kind of a hidden or latent fascism, this issue is rising again, and there are many who are inspired by the Nazi ideology, which basically sets the personality against the soul, and would lead, says DK, had Germany won, to the most materialistic of all human systems of organization. So we'll see whether that kind of materialism attempts to develop, and I think we'll see a lot of it in the next 6 years, and it won't be a cakewalk either through the remaining 75 years or so of the 21st century, when the sixth ray and the energies of Pisces are fading out in their usual expression. They also have unusual expressions, which always, it seems, remain around. Anyway, when humanity has solved the Jewish problem, and we don't mean it in the sense that the Nazis meant it, you know, looking for some kind of final solution, which is the liquidation of the Untermensch, you know, the gypsies, the the Jews, the Slavs, the homosexuals, the, you know, the mentally retarded or defective, they were so focused on the condition of the physical man that they really were materialists and they really missed the inside. So many lies, you know, and the Nazi theorists did everything they could to support the preeminence of the Nordic type and especially the German type, lying profusely to establish their point of view. I was listening a little bit to the what's called the myth of the 20th century by the Nazi ideologue and polemicist and theorist Alfred Rosenberg, and you just, when you listen to it, you just can't believe that such things are being said. It seems so antithetical to that which was developing as truth after the war, but now a lot of that hatred is returning, and we who are esoterically inclined and study with care the Tibetans' methods, we have a lot of interior work to do to offset this recrudescence of separativeness and hatred. We are told that the opportunity will not always be with us, and certainly by 2075, is it the 500-year fifth ray, second ray cycle that began in 1575 is terminated, but at least the movement towards the externalization of the hierarchy will bring a presence of the second ray in a very strong manner, and maybe there are cycles involving the second ray of our planetary soul, which indicate that it is emerging. So we cannot know all the cycles. We hardly know any of them, really, as human beings at our present stage of unfoldment. But when we reach that third subplane of the atmic plane and have what's called all knowledge, at least, I suppose, in a globe sense, I mean, it can't be all knowledge, you know. It can't be all knowledge. It's got to be all knowledge within a certain sphere. Then this science of cycles will be much clearer to us, and we can function with real effectiveness. Some of the cycles of the new group of world servers has been given to us, a three-year cycle, 9-year cycle, 7-ray cycle, and so forth, to help us wisely proportion our energy as individuals and within groups, so that these the expression of these energies will be most effective for the externalization of the divine plan. Anyway, when humanity has solved the Jewish problem with the understanding cooperation of the Jew, which is growing, you know, I guess there are the Jews for Jesus, and I guess it just tells the story, doesn't it, about where they've been and what they've seen and maybe their past Christian identification. But anyway, with the understanding cooperation of the Jew, which he tells us, you know, the Jew can represent the a symbol, aristocratic symbol for humanity, because always the leftover groups end up being the leaders in the next system, then much can be overcome. So what humanity has to have solved the Jewish problem and overcome ancient antipathies and hatreds, it will do so by fusing the problem in one vast humanitarian situation. How to overcome this problem? Of course, you know, when he was writing, it was a huge thing. Because the whole Second World War, you know, was had this as a major strand of influence, the what to do with the Jews, you know, and the Germans decided, don't just ship them off someplace, eradicate them, you know. And Hitler said, well, I left a few Jews alive so you would see how bad they really were. I mean, you know, when you have that kind of thinking, what are you going to do? Maybe consult, you know, some of the Nobel prizes in science and literature and so forth to see that the Jewish group with its ancient age has made a lot of significant contributions to humanity. And DK tells us that a kind of example can be set by this group when it comes to understanding, which is not yet the case. Anyway, this vast humanitarian situation will be seen and will contribute to the solution of the Jewish problem, which is largely how to assimilate the major energies of the previous solar system with the present one. That's what the whole issue is about, from the symbolical and actually quite real point of view, how to bring the third ray and second ray together, the third ray of the previous solar system, the second ray of the present solar system, when in fact those are rays that are very difficult to assimilate. How do you do that? Okay. When that happens, the problem will be rapidly solved and one of the major difficulties will disappear off the face of the earth. Well, that's a great statement. And I would say, you know, largely because the inheritance from the previous solar system and the conditions of the present solar system will have been harmonized. That's hardly the case yet. Racial fusion will then be possible one day. You know, DK tells us the human race will all be of the same kind of golden color, something like that. You know, maybe it's the sixth root race lasting 10 million years. Right now we have that fifth ray of cleavage and division, and so many racial types are looking different, but the real differences are found in the inside and the causal bodies and the rays and so forth. The outer form doesn't make so much difference, and one day there'll be a lot more homogeneity with regard to it. Racial fusion will then be possible. Our Earth humanity and the group of human beings who are far more ancient in their origin than we are, and notice how he says that, than we are. So there's the hint right there that Master DK does not have much of a Jewish history and probably did not come from the previous solar system, and probably his master, Master KH, did not come from the previous solar system, where there are among the masters, as I just suggested a little while ago, certain of them that really were from the previous solar system. And when he talks about Master Jupiter as being quite the oldest of all the masters, I think you have to trace him back to the previous solar system, even though he's identified as the regent of India, more on the first subray of the fifth than, well, he's a first ray master, but it's the fifth root race. And so, you know, the first subray of the fifth, that he, his experience, his individualized human experience began there. We don't know exactly what he means by the oldest of the masters, but that's a speculation. Our Earth humanity and the group of human beings who are far more ancient in their origin than we are will form one humanity, and then there will be peace on Earth. As if to say that this Jewish problem, as the hierarchy conceives it, has contributed quite a bit to war on Earth. And that would be quite shocking. But I think the real problem is assimilating or bringing together the third ray and the second ray. I'm trying to get my chronometer back here. Right, it's still going. It's kind of hard to time these out to about an hour, but sometimes I, when I have time, I just say, forget it, let's go for 5 hours, and we do. So there will be an assimilation between, let's call it the third and second ray, the third aspect, second aspect, the personality and the soul. That's what it really takes to have peace, because there's so much warfare going on between the personality nature of man, which really represents the dweller on the threshold, and the soul, which represents the angel of the present. Why our planet and this solar system should have been constituted the nursery for the seeds of separativeness, and why this remnant of humanity, far more advanced than ours, I somehow, Master DK here, is identifying with Earth humanity. There's no way that he's really Earth humanity. I think he probably is moonchain humanity, but you know, it is the capacity of the master to speak as if he is the ones that he is mentioning, because his power of identification is so strong. Anyway, why here on our in our solar system, and why our humanity should be mixed with this remnant of humanity far more advanced than ours, our humanity. By that, I think he means Earth humanity, should have been destined to work out its future on our Earth, is hid in the knowledge of the Lord of Shambhala, and is unattainable knowledge for you, and indeed for many in the hierarchy. This is an amazing idea. In other words, why on our planet do we have this friction, this blending, this the antagonism between the previous and the present solar system being worked out on a planetary basis right here? Why is that happening? And why the ancient remnant has to be blended with the present Earth humanity and the moonchain humanity, which has wandered also into our present planetary context, why this is happening. Even some members of the hierarchy don't know, apparently. We just have to accept it. So, you know, why should this be so? Can we hazard guesses that are at all meaningful? But I think it has a lot to do with ray balancing. And it has to do with the function of our particular planetary logos, and how we become, you know, under the sign of the cross, we become adjudicators between the pairs of opposites when we're graduating from this planet. And the pairs of opposites can be vertical and can be horizontal too. And we somehow really learn how to discriminate between them and see the value of each and all of the pairs of opposites. And that means a lot of struggle, a lot of pain, a lot of rending, a lot of being spiritually drawn and quartered, as it were. It's a difficult path on this essentially first ray monadic planet. And, you know, that's going to work out as the base of the spine center in our solar system to our solar logos. We're really being, you know, put through the fire in order to fulfill our task, and fulfill our task in the solar system. Why we, as certain types of monads, happen to be here rather than somewhere else, even though our origin was probably on one of the sacred planets, and then probably within the sun and from other locales. It's difficult to know how we wound up here, but there is, I think, for each of us, one of seven monadic rays and then one of three. And there is a sacred planet to which we are most related, just the way the Buddha was more related to Mercury, and the Christ more related to Venus. And I carry that further. I think Master DK more related to Mercury, and Master KH more related to Venus. Well, I think we do have sacred planets on which we as monads were focused before we were transferred, who knows how and whether voluntarily or however, into this non-sacred planet, the Earth, for all of this remedial work, you might say. Anyway, this, I'm going to read it again. Why our planet and this solar system should have been constituted the nursery for the seeds of separativeness, I guess, you know, those coming from the previous solar system might be called, in a way, seeds of separativeness, and why this remnant of humanity, the Jews, as he is here calling them, far more advanced than ours, than Earth humanity, and even, I would say, than Moonchain humanity, should have been destined to work out its future here on Earth, is hid in the knowledge of the Lord of Shambhala, that can be Sanat Kumara, most probably, or, you know, under the influence of the planetary logos, of which Sanat Kumara is an emanation, and is unattainable knowledge for you and indeed for many in the hierarchy. He's not saying it's unattainable for himself, might be. On the other hand, even if it is attained knowledge for the Tibetan, let us just say that he's not going to talk about that because it's probably not permitted. You know how often he refers to what is permitted for him to say, what kind of permission he's been given to say something additional, as in the case of the seven or nine cosmic paths and so forth. So every once in a while through the teaching, you'll see him say, I've been given permission to say more here. It is simply a fact to be accepted by you. The solution will come, as I said, when the races regard the Jewish problem as a humanitarian problem, but also when the Jew does his share of understanding, love, and right action. There's a two-way street here. Another 500 years, it's supposed to, at least according to some references I seem to remember, another 500 years, it's supposed to be quite resolved. This he does not yet do, speaking racially. Of course, there are, you know, characters within the Jewish, present Jewish group who certainly do this approach with understanding, love, and right action. But from the group point of view, excuse me, and speaking racially, he doesn't do it. He must let go of his own separative tendencies and of his deep sense of persecution. I guess he's wrung all of the pain, being, I think, in my view, a fourth-ray monadic group, first-ray soul, third-ray personality, fourth-ray monadic group, I think, and therefore has rested from experience so much pain and such a deep sense of persecution. But he's got to let go of that. You know, when we finally wake up to what we really are and that we're not the form and that the form may suffer, but we awaken on the inner side free of the constraints of form and recognize it to be a very familiar experience. This he does not yet do, speaking racially. He must let go of his own separative tendencies and his deep sense of persecution. Now, those are real things. You know, I was raised in a Jewish family, and I certainly identify with these factors. I always felt a little bit out of it, you know, when it came to separative tendencies. But on the other hand, the mind can be very separative, and I had to learn some lessons. And the sense of persecution, well, you know, anti-Semitism was pretty strong even after the war. And I remember in the high school that I attended, we were singled out as objects of persecution and attack, and every once in a while a very physically strong Jew would show up and put people in their place, but usually it was quite an attack, and you get used to it, you know, and you begin to think the world is that way. Anyway, he will do this latter, with great facility. He'll get rid of that when he grasps as a race the significance and inevitability of the law of karma, and from a close study of the Old Testament and of the acts and deeds there claimed by him as his racial acts and deeds, conquest, terrorism, and cruelty, realizes that the law is working out and incidentally releasing him for a greater future. DK said, well, you know, there's some terrible persecution now going on of the Jews, but if you want to know the reason, you have to go back to Atlantean times. And he said, I'm not going to talk about it because I wouldn't be believed. So somehow there has to be the understanding that in one of those very pure first-race cycles, as DK says, maybe it was around the time of the conquering of the so-called Holy Land, conquest, terrorism, and cruelty were rife in the Jewish group. Under that first ray, they had that first ray soul, you know. So, okay. When you realize that you've participated in some pretty heavy things, you can understand why me, you know. Because the me you seem to be isn't at all like the me you used to be, and very few people have the kind of memory which can go back to times when the persecuted was the persecutor. Anyway, it's very hard to identify the real Jew, the one who was the nomad from the previous solar system, simply being a part of the Jewish physical nature, family nature, does not indicate that this is the case, as he pointed out in the case of a number of his disciples who were in Jewish bodies at the time. So we'll have to reserve judgment as we look for who is the real Jew and what is the lesson to be learned. There must at the same time be a realization by the Jew and Gentile of equal responsibility and equal liability for the present world difficulty. Well, this seems to be far from the case. You know, usually there's a lot of blame going on. The Jew feels persecuted, and the many Gentiles, as it were, feel that he deserves that persecution. And the real causes are hidden deep, deep, deep in not only in the history that the Bible relates, but in much earlier history that no present non-esoteric account of history can deal with. The two forces which I have been referring must therefore be taken into account by all disciples as they seek to serve in this critical cycle. These two forces must also be taken into your calculations as you start this new group work, or your wrong idealisms and thoughts may hinder the group work. Well, I guess, does he mean the Jew and the Gentile? That's one of two forces. Or, you know, modern Earth humanity and the more ancient humanity, but even, you know, coming from the moon, from the moon chain. Right. So where are we here? You must recognize theoretically the five forces. The three major, okay, Shambhala, hierarchy and humanity, and the two minor, the Jewish force and the force of the Black Lives. Some people think that the Jewish group is conflated with the Black Lodge, but that is certainly a mistake. They are both from the previous solar system, but the rays are different and the motives are different. So we have to recognize the five forces, three major and two minor, which meet and clash in the human family at this time. The clash must be harmonized. We have a lot of the, let's just say, the fourth ray monad. Fourth ray is coming in via its monadic aspect, and so the possibility of greater harmonization exists, and Libra is getting stronger in the planetary horoscope. It works for harmony and balance and right relations. And DK tells us in both cases that there is no need for real anxiety about the situation because of these two energies. It has been necessary for me to bring these facts to your attention. If disciples are to do group work together on mental levels, they must clear their minds of prejudice, hatreds, and any tendency to superiority and criticism. You know, we don't really know yet where we've been, what root races and sub-races we've been a part of, and when. One day all of that will be made clear. But right now it's better not to adopt the attitude of the superior person, if that is possible. Right, every once in a while a call comes in and I get a little bit, have to deal with it. And I lose my place. So anyway, you cannot work as a group if these ideas and thoughts are present. And I'm preparing now to teach you some of the first stages of group work and usefulness. So let's be humble about it. Some of the first stages of group work. I don't know how good we think we are, but when it comes to the standard of a master, we're not there yet. It would not have been necessary for me to deal with these world problems if you had been immune from emotional reactions to them. I guess some of his disciples were very prone to reaction. And, you know, and I recall that one of them, RSU, who was in a Jewish body, was very prone to reaction. And she was so close to Alice Bailey, being, you know, the major editor of the books and so forth. If you had been immune, but very few of you have your minds clear from prejudice and free from hatred. And that might apply to us today as we look at some situations which are really in the world so retrogressive as we might judge them to be. I certainly judge many situations as very retrogressive, and it does not please me. And I can certainly, you know, react as I should not. Okay, but very few of you have your minds clear from prejudice and free from hatred. Okay. Those few make the work possible, and it is also possible for the rest of you to detach your minds from undue influence and wrong ideas. So, well, he's dealing with the fallibilities of disciples like ourselves who are not clear. We have prejudice. We prejudge, you know, what do they say? Racial profiling, type profiling. Oh, I know that type, you know, and then prejudice, judging everybody according to the ideas that you have of that, quote, type. I ask you in this work to concentrate upon Shambhala and the hierarchical forces. This we say we do, but, you know, do we actually experience these things? Because they are usually so different from what we might imagine from our rather the cramped perspective of our concrete mind. I ask you to regard yourselves as pure and unclogged channels, and to seek only to be linked with the soul of each and all whose nature is pure love. I guess the real soul, you know, which is even like the essence of the monad. Realize synthesis and divine potency. Okay, well, let me take a quick look here. We're in the book, The Externalization, and I want to make sure that I have not done something really. And divine potency. There's only one. And I want to make sure I'm not leaving out a sentence, because I see that telltale X, which makes me worry. And divine potency. No. So we're all right. We're all right. It is essential. So the higher forces are what we have to learn to recognize and concentrate upon. It is essential, however, in spite of the work to which I have called these groups, so far maybe, I don't know, four groups, maybe in beginning the fifth by 1939, also the year in which the group effort focusing upon 10 groups was disbanded for the new reorganized seed group, you know, given the perils in which humanity found itself and the way the Second World War precipitated it. When you really think about it, it was an amazing, amazing thing. I mean, I was born sort of in the middle of the war, and, you know, with the sense that I really participated in it in some unpleasant way. When you think of this attack upon humanity, which almost succeeded, coming from a very ancient group from the previous major solar system, exercising Ray 1 and Ray 5, and I suppose a lot of Vulcan for weaponry and so forth, a lot of separatism of Ray 1 and 5. It's just amazing. Somehow we got through that, but we're not out of the woods yet, really, you know. Sometimes people have a heart attack and everything looks okay, but then they die. So we have to be very cautious now that we don't become the man who swept his house clear of, was it 40 devils? I keep on losing the number of devils that it was. Maybe it's not important. But I'm going to try to take a quick look, you know. I've got to get, I know it seems foolish, but I quote that quite a bit, and I want to just see, here's Google, and, oh, okay, devils swept, clean, okay, well, I'm not sure this is going to house. Okay, I'm not sure this is going to work. Aha. Here it is. Well, from Luke anyway. When an unclean spirit comes out of a man, it passes through arid places and seeks rest and does not find it. And then it says, I will return to the house I left. The house is us, you know, the human vehicle. On its return, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go and dwell there. And the final plight of the man is worse than the other. Luke seems to mention seven. New International Version and King James Bible. Let's see what it says here. And one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, okay. And let's see if we can find this. I'm not sure that I can. Well, there were demons, and there were these spirits, the unclean spirits. He finds it swept and in order, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits. Well, maybe it's not 40. Anyway, and they enter in and they dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. It seems they're finding seven spirits. But the idea is, if we are inattentive, then we run the possibility of having a situation with regard to our vehicle that is worse than the first situation. So he's asking us, concentrate on the Shambhala and hierarchical forces and be pure unclogged channels, which obviously the man who is afflicted by seven more evil devils than the first one is not. And that's all through inattentiveness, you know, not really watching carefully what goes in and what goes out. But I recall at least, let's see here. Yeah, I do recall Master Moria saying that the open heart will deflect, that's my word, or make impossible obsession. It will make obsession impossible. Okay. So the heart radiation is what we need. Okay, I ask you to regard yourselves as pure and unclogged channels and to seek only to be linked with the soul of each other and all. The soul whose nature is pure love, realized synthesis, and divine potency. Okay. The soul is a lot more than the soul on the causal body. The egoic nature is the spiritual triad in a way, and in a way the consciousness of the monad is soul, allied to the universal soul. It is essential, however, in spite of the work to which I have called these groups, and which, as you know, is intended to lay the basis for the work of the esoteric schools of the future, that the members of all groups realize that exoteric group work must also be undertaken. This is really an important one because you kind of wonder what will prepare the new esoteric schools. And I think what we see is what will prepare them is the kind of work in the seed groups that will prepare the way for the new esoteric schools. It's one of the major ways, let us say, of preparing for these illuminative developments. It lays the basis for the work of the esoteric schools of the future. He lays this out in Letters on Occult Meditation. He talks about developments which are all already underway, and then later in the book he says the new esoteric schools of which I spoke earlier lie far in the future. So which is it, or is it both? Too many in these groups are satisfied with the significance of their own group work and permit it to usurp the place of objective service. Well, maybe, you know, meditation is not enough. Sometimes we've been told that the right kind of service, service with the right motive, is even more effective than meditation. And maybe that's what the Christ came to teach in his earlier appearance. Meditation was something long followed, but the impulse towards service, loving service, was relatively new. So that, you know, think about your life and the degree to which external service, objective service, is also operative, and not just the significance of our own group work and just internal work. I think meditation is extremely powerful, and I really support those groups who pursue it, and then, of course, more is required. If it is so hard, my brothers, to arouse aspirants such as yourselves to urgent service and a full sense of responsibility, if men and women, with all the information that you possess, cannot be aroused to sacrificing effort, you can gain some idea of the magnitude of the task with which the hierarchy is confronted at this time. I mean, if we can't get our act together with respect to loving and effective service, how is the person who does not have our type of understanding and information going to do it? It's a really big job. It's very resistant energies which have to be energies and forces which have to be confronted. You can realize perhaps the sense almost of frustration which could sweep over me if I were limited by any time concept. So he gives you a hint there. He's not. when, for instance, those to whom I look for cooperation are preoccupied with their own affairs, have no sense of immediacy, and prefer to concentrate upon their own development, their own families, their own problems, rather than achieve the larger worldview which would lead to full cooperation. And, you know, of course, it's really important not to be limited by the time concept. Master DK has transcended that. And that, you know, realizing what we essentially are is very, very useful when confronted with a task where what you might call supreme patience is required. I mean, if we've always been at this, you know, if we are the one being in all cosmos and infinitely more, then you realize that there's nothing that can prevent us from being what we are, and that we contain within ourselves all possibilities, even if not, you know, even if only an infinitesimal number can be, excuse me, can be worked out in any one universe. And by universe, I mean the grand entirety of manifested energies, even to the highest plane. So there, you know, we're asked to see things from Master DK's point of view. You can realize perhaps this, the sense almost of frustration which could sweep over me if I were limited by any time concept. I mean, he knows the beginningless and endlessness of being. When, for instance, those to whom I look for cooperation, that's us, right, are preoccupied with their own affairs, have no sense of immediacy, and prefer to concentrate on their own development, their own families, their own problems, rather than achieve the larger worldview which would lead to full cooperation. You know, consciousness will strengthen the will to sacrifice and to fully cooperate. The averting, now here we're looking ahead, this is 1939, the averting of a world debacle is the aim of our efforts, and towards this aim, I have asked your help. Now remember, this is 1939, this is this instruction given in 1939, and just 3 years later, the hierarchy were colloquially, we might say, packing their bags, you know, for good reason, not because they're just abandoning humanity, because they felt humanity might go down, would go down to defeat, when in fact, at that time, the Lords of Liberation stepped in due to even the inchoate human longing and invocation for something better. Just an amazing, amazing story. And one day we're going to know this story from the inside out rather than from the outside in, as is present in the States, the case given our still non-hierarchical status, at least in the full and intimate sense. Well, it looks like we're, you know, starting a new section here of May 1939. We're getting very close to, you know, the invasion of Poland, which really led into immediate Second World War. So he's got a lot going here in 1939, August, May, August. Let's see what else. And I'm not quite sure. But we'll get to it as we go along. All of these charts, of course, can be seen from different perspectives. And they are listed in the back, a lot of them, in Esoteric Psychology Volume 1. So what I suggest we do, that's, you know, that's going to be like two programs that I've managed to eke out today. I wish it was five. But we'll do it this way. And I'll try to keep clear in my mind. Okay, though this is the one. This is the one I want. Okay. Sorry. And it takes us up to page 79, and we began on page 77. So this is the end of program six. And we went from 77 to 79. And our date was today, the 16th of January. And then we'll start program number seven. And we'll go from 79 to whatever. We're starting a new section, so I don't see the point in racing ahead into it. And so I'll just erase the date. Somehow, this instruction, so liberally and at such great sacrifice, given by the masters to prepare the way for their externalization, a series of bridging treatises, has to be deeply, deeply appreciated and manifested, or at least applied in the little spheres in which we find ourselves. The divine plan ought ever to be in our minds and hearts. Life is complicated in the modern era, and there are many, many distractions and many reductions of the true values which come because of those distractions and the kind of third-ray busyness which seems to be forced upon us in order to live the modern life and to get by and to earn a living and somehow survive and somehow maintain a certain standard. It is quite a pressure upon humanity at this time, and especially maybe upon the people who know something about the inner life, but not only that. Everybody is under pressure. But what we want to do as students of the wisdom is to help make life more meaningful for people. Now, you know, the world of meaning is the world of the soul. The world of symbol is pretty much the lower 18 subplanes. The world of significance, the triad, the world of being, the monad, the world of causes, true causes, is the sea of fire on the logoic plane, and I suppose we could start to name things even higher on the cosmic planes, but they would be just words, of course. We have a great treasure. When you run into a treasure, you know, you don't ignore it. It has to be banked, you know, put in your account. It has to be assimilated in that way, and then wisely spent for the promotion of that which will make it possible for all people to benefit from the great treasure. We have such a responsibility to carry the light, and it is a unique form of light. You know, think of all the solutions that are offered as to what is humanity and where is it going, and how very childish these solutions are, and how unsatisfying, deeply unsatisfying, and how closed they are to the infinite possibilities of growth into one's own true, absolutely infinite nature. The conception of what being is and what a human being is are woefully inadequate, and we can't escape into them, but we have to feel them, see them, live as them, be in them, you know, and then apply the realizations which have come to us for the betterment of everybody. Now, that's a big, big requirement. But fortunately, under the guidance of Master Decay, the tutelage of Master Decay, we have been given the methods. And that's not to take away from how the other masters teach and what they do and so forth. We just happen to have found ourselves under the tutelage of this great and learned disciple of the Christ that we know as Master DK. So let us hold the teaching really as sacred. Not that we want to, you know, become idolatrous about it, but it just can stimulate so much growth and make better people of us and help us express the soul through the personality and eventually the monad through the soul-infused personality. All of this is possible, and the methods have been given to us, and this is what we have to take seriously, even though it means we certainly don't ignore the many karmic responsibilities and even dharmic responsibilities that we have in the world. Well, let's see if any more work can be done tonight here. I don't know. Maybe. And meanwhile, thank you for studying with me. And we'll take this up the next time. Oof. Yeah, I mean, you know, Second World War is coming on, but you see how much he tells us that has immediate applicability to the present. He starts in this hour of crisis, anxiety, and suspense. It has seemed that there are certain things which you would do well to remember and certain things which you should endeavor to do. So he's being very practical, and that's where we will start next time. Okay. Love and many blessings. We'll see you. See you soon.